This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number two. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here, Circus Sports, Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Jensen Lewis, our closer, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. And Jensen, speaking of closing, it is all over in the NBA, and that is where we begin. Hour number two, highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
So it's all over for Indiana, and the problem there is going to be Tyrese Haliburton. When he went down in a heap and it did not look good, we're not doctors, look like an Achilles. So you wonder about the tentacles for next year for the Indiana Pacers. But for this year, to the victors go the spoils. Oklahoma City gets it done. They cover all numbers last night in winning by 12. And this under does easily hit as well. So OKC, congratulations, Jensen Lewis, their first ever title in Oklahoma City. Is there a bigger takeaway in a series that went seven? And even though you and I were not surprised by a longer series, maybe some people were with that 103-91 win in Game 7.
Yeah, first and foremost, best team all regular season, the Oklahoma City Thunder. So the best team will hoist the trophy at the end. Congratulations to the Pacers, who made this NBA postseason worthwhile from a watching perspective. Otherwise, one of the bigger duds overall. Adam Silver has a huge problem with the product on the court. It is nearly unwatchable in the National Blowout Association. So mercifully, this season comes to an end. As you look towards next year, Dave, and I just happened to circle a few numbers from our previous conversation, people just joining us from hour number one. I was looking on DraftKings already for markets next year. Can I interest you to qualify for the Western Conference Finals, okay, as you get a look on VSiN.com, VSiN Watch app? These are the early odds to win the NBA title next year. Thunder plus 240 seems unbettable at this point. But as far as the championship futures go, and let me start there for the NBA Finals. I circled three teams in the West, just right now where their current numbers are. The Nuggets, okay, at 15-1, 18-1, depending on where you're looking at, find the best number. The Warriors, upwards of 20-1. And the San Antonio Spurs at 25-1. And depending on what happens for this offseason, I know we have a move already that transpired yesterday that is going to shake up the Western Conference overall. But boy, with the emergence of Wemby, and potentially if he gets more support, I would love to have that number in pocket, if nothing more than the Spurs get into the postseason. Let's see what happens in that Western Conference bracket.
I'm with you on that. That feels like a team that I would target down the odds board a little bit for San Antonio. You got to get in there first, and then once you get in, you're sitting on a ticket that you go, man, can you win a couple series here? And then maybe even if you can't get all the way there, maybe hedgeable in a Western Conference final. I'm with you on that. OKC, as you mentioned, is the betting favorite to get this done again. And Shea, who won the MVP regular season, also won the finals MVP yesterday with Oklahoma City getting that win. He's plus 250 to go back-to-back to win the MVP. Jokic is the favorite right now, 2-1, to win that award there. With your Wemby conversation and the Spurs, would you look at Wemby at 18-1, Jensen, and say, okay, it's not as long as winning the title. But remember, regular season award, could you maybe look at that number and say, if we really think that they're a shot to win that, you would think Wemby would have to be in the MVP conversation for that to happen?
No doubt. And that was one I wrote down as a potential value selection right now in the MVP conversation. And you and I, let the transparency be shown. We want nothing to do with these markets. We just provide you
That's right.
With the information.
That's right.
We just provide. One other one that stood out, Cade Cunningham at 30-1. With the step up that the Pacers or the Pistons took this year.
Yep.
And kind of what I had said, a headline for me headed into this offseason and whatever transpires. With the Haliburton injury yesterday, it just completes what has been a cataclysmic Achilles year for star players getting hurt. And if you wear the number zero, boy, oh boy, it feels like you're a marked man, which is just so unfortunate with some of the stars that have gotten hurt. I think the East is going to be so much of the proverbial Wild West. There's going to be so many teams that are going to be aligned and maybe on even footing here to potentially win the East. And so that number for a guy who is going to be a focal point of the offense in so many ways, 30-1 feels like a really nice number to have in pocket headed into this year.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It feels like, again, when you look at this year with what just happened with OKC, ascending to the number one seed, SGA, winning the MVP award, the Cade Cunninghams, the Wembanyamas, those type of things are correlated. That if you think the Pistons can make that big jump, then Cade should be in that mix for MVP. I love those numbers there on some of those longer shots down the board. Kevin Durant, now that it is official, he's a member of the Houston Rockets. The other big news yesterday on the eve of Game 7, which was odd, has now been dealt to Houston, one of his destination spots. Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, and a bunch of picks going back, including two coming up in this year's draft, and then a bunch for next year and beyond with some second-round picks here. What do you make of that? That you go, all right, you're going to give up Green, Brooks, two picks this year, two next year, and then down the road in 2030 and 2032. Are the Rockets really a Durant away from challenging? Because that feels like that's the equation there for H-Town.
You looked at this bracket and the odds board when those numbers were populated, and we were just flabbergasted, I think, to see that the Rockets as the two seed this year in the West were upwards of 30-1 to win the title. And is it that big of a chasm between the one seed and you know, again, just by the numbers alone, a one and a two seed, that's the big difference. Okay. Shout out to Durant on brand, right? The ring hunter. Mm-hmm. He finds another new destination. Our esteemed producer, Brandon Valesky, telling us now the eighth different coach, coach that Kevin Durant has played for in the last 8 years. I mean, try them all on for size, man. It's just amazing between him and LeBron how much you can't do it on your own. So we'll see what happens here. I don't even have the Rockets written down as a team that I would back as far as a future at the moment. And I don't even know if I would play it in single digits, Dave. I almost feel like this is going to have to be a feeling out period early. For the Rockets next year, they're going to get a lot of run from a national audience perspective. Can you handle that kind of pressure? I would rather take the Nuggets at 15-1. Right? Are you kidding me? Give me the best player at double digits right now. Why wouldn't you? I think there are far more teams right now I'd want to invest in than the Rockets.
He'll be 37 when they start to play here in October of this upcoming year. So he's going to turn 37 here in September. You know, when you Google search sometimes, like Kevin Durant age, the interesting things that pop up underneath it, the most frequently asked question about Durant after that is he really 6'9"? I'm like, people are debating his height? Is that what people are talking about when it comes to Kevin Durant? That's interesting where people go. Wow. But again, officially going to be a member of the Rockets here. He will be 37. That is, in fact, coming up for this upcoming season. One other highlight and headline we want to get to here. How about this in the NL Central? By the way, four teams in the Central right now with 40 or more wins. The AL East is the only other division that can boast that. The Reds have 40 wins now as a fourth-place team. They're calling up their number two overall prospect and from last year's Major League Baseball draft, Chase Burns. So he's been cruising through the minors. Jensen, what have you seen from the kid? And is it too early to call him up if you're the Natty?
No. And again, you ask the player to, you know, show you that he's ready for each successive level. And that is what Chase Burns has done. It was dynamic stuff out of Wake Forest, potential to be the number one overall selection in this past draft. And for me, if we saw anything with Jacob Mizorowski with the Milwaukee Brewers, that kind of wipeout stuff, that's what you're going to get from Chase Burns if you're a Cincinnati Reds fan. I jumped in on him at 20-1 to win National League Rookie of the Year when I found out the news. And so if you saw the meteoric rise of Mizorowski in just two starts, he's now the top betting choice for through two starts, Dave. Jacob Mizorowski, unreal. Get him and Paul Skeens. Will be the headliner for WIF Wednesday. Just spoiler alert for people, if you want to go ahead and save the date, Wednesday we are going to have a Miz versus the Skeens. We'll see what that does. But our preamble, since we have been talking Revolutionary War here, it'll be Chase Burns tomorrow getting the start against the Bronx Bombers at home at the Great American Launching Pad.
What a debut. That is going to be something else here to see young Chase Burns up there on the bump against the Yanks. And by the way, speaking of Yanks, like, we were in the trees. We're fighting all over the place. They're just coming. The Brits were just coming out single file line, Jensen. What were they thinking back in 1776?
It's funny you bring that up because, you know, as I was thinking of Keegan Bradley and they're up in Cromwell, Connecticut, you know, the Boston Tea Party, the revolutionary with George Washington, shades of Mel Gibson and the Patriot having to defend against the Redcoats. And so much red, white and blue pride here to see on the sports landscape. And boy, Captain America has shown up in a big way. We get Chase Burns going up against the hated New York Yankees. A lot of pride, man. Cannot wait to see what will be power on power tomorrow in Cincinnati.
Look, I was just a sergeant in the Marine Corps. I was not a general. But if I was a general back in the 1700s, hey, boys, we're taking some cover, okay? We're not just going to come out there and just march down the middle of whatever for everybody to be in plain sight. You got to hide, Brits. They didn't do a very good job. Tommy Fleetwood choked it away. Correlation? We don't know. There's a new sports betting market in town. It's called Xcuta. It's spelled X-C-U-T-T-A. Xcuta is a sports Calcutta. It combines the adrenaline of live auctions and strategy of sports prognostication. Create your own Xcuta auctions for you and your crew for any sport or any sporting event. Football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, Super Bowl, World Series, March Madness, Wimbledon. You think of it, you can do it. Even your own local golf tournament. Create your private or public auctions. Create secondary markets for aftermarket buying and selling. Over 1,000 teams, players, drivers, and the database with the ability for you to add even more. Free practice auctions now, running daily at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. at xcuta.com. And for a 3-month free bidding subscription, email support at xcuta.com and mention VEASAN. xcuta.com, the future of futures, just got a little bit better. Pretty interesting. All right, when we come back, what happened in the College World Series? We'll break that down next year. It's VEASAN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VEASAN by the Books, right here on VEASAN.
Programming reminder, we're going to have at the top of hour number three, Will Hill's going to join us to break down what he saw in the NBA last night. Look at maybe some football and baseball as well. And maybe next year in the NBA as you already start to turn the page now in the futures market. John Daigle's going to join us as well from Establish the Run, breaking down the NFL and some plays that he sees that could be actionable here as we really start to turn the page heavy into football. College baseball is also wrapped up, and congratulations to LSU. They claimed their second national title in the last 3 years. They beat Coastal, and 5-3 is the final here, Jensen, but there was some stories inside of the game, how this game began for Coastal, for their 26-game winning streak, which came to an end on Saturday night, and the ejection of their skipper. Is that where it started to go south for Coastal right from the jump?
Well, yes, in so that the home plate umpire, Angel Campos, if you go back and look at some of the replays within the first 10 pitches, was already missing calls going against Coastal Carolina, and their head coach, Kevin Schnall, had enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the debate will rage for a little bit, depending on which side you're on. When you're in the national title game or you're in the national championship series, as an official, as an umpire, you must have feel, and you must have the ability to diffuse certain situations or allow a conversation to be had up to a certain point, unless some of the magic words are used, Dave. And I know it's a family program, so we don't need to repeat them. And unless those are used early in the exchange, then by all means, some respect must be had on both sides. That all being said, the Cliff Notes is what we're about to see and potentially moving forward. Angel Campos tosses Kevin Schnall, the head coach, and then also shilling the first base coach. And by virtue of that, if Coastal Carolina had won to force a winner-take-all game three tonight, by NCAA rule, Dave, Kevin Schnall and Schilling would be suspended and not able to be part of the staff on the field. Should have never happened. There should have been at least cooler heads prevailing to a certain extent. Kevin Schnall was on the field arguing, but Angel Campos, and this is not an isolated event from him particularly, should have had some wherewithal to go over and explain whatever he wanted to explain in a composed manner. And then if it escalates from there, you know as well as I do. Rules of engagement. Do not fire until fired upon. And in that sense, then Campos could have been well within his rights to say, okay, enough is enough. I gave you your leeway. I gave you your runway. That did not happen, Dave. It changed the dynamic there. Coastal put up a little bit of a fight at the end there. But LSU, as I kind of told you when we handicapped this College World Series final, felt that they would win in three. They get it done in two. They have returned to the gold standard of what college baseball is, second national title here in the last 3 years.
And kids, we can't show it because obviously we don't have the rights to it. But if you didn't see that outburst and the umpire falling down, it is a carnival of comedy, if you will, of errors and comedy. And, you know, so did he get ejected because the ump, because there was contact with the, there wasn't. He Schnall never touched the umpire. Umpire just was very correct. Unathletic in that moment and fell of his own omission there. I will say this, that apparently, according to Kevin Schnall, and I love this soundbite where he said, look, I teach our kids to take accountability for all of it. We take accountability. So I take accountability. The umpire said to me, you can't argue balls and strikes. And I said, good, because you've already missed three of them. So if that got him run, if that little salvo got you run, come on. The leeway part had to happen there. So it's a good line to come back. But no magic words apparently were used before the ejection. And there was no touching of the umpire. Does it change the result of the game? We'll never know. But I'm kind of with you here. As an umpire, as a manager, it's the national championship. There should be a little bit more leeway. That did not happen. But kudos to LSU. You handicapped that one perfectly as well. They get it done here as they get that two-game sweep here. We thought this would be fun to do here as we're getting ready to turn the page, obviously, from college baseball into college football. So now let's look up at LSU, Baton Rouge, and the football version of the Raging Cajuns down there, because LSU right now, their win total for this year is 8.5. It is juiced to the over at $1.40. You can get money on the under at plus $1.20, conversely here. You look down the board, 18-1 for LSU to win the national championship. I kind of feel like for somebody on the second page, if you're watching either on the VSiN Watch app, VSiN.com, maybe not a terrible number to have. What do you make of LSU this year? And theoretically, how many losses can they afford to have and still make the college football playoff?
All right, so roster construction, obviously in the SEC, a very loaded conference as far as quarterbacks. Garrett Nussmeier going to be a potential Heisman candidate here. Brian Kelly had that offense humming last year, averaging upwards, I think, of 34 points. The defense was a sieve, though. They couldn't stop anyone in multiple games there. They do get the number one transfer portal class. I'm looking at various sites here. So they try to address the defense as much as possible. Here's the rub here, Dave. You look at the win total of 8.5. I'm sorry, but the SEC, and as well as opening with Clemson, who I think a lot of people with Kate Klubnik and company feel that they could be a team not only to get through the ACC, but could cause some havoc now. You at least into the Bayou there, you get Florida at home, you get South Carolina, who's going to have Lenora Sellers, who is going to be a Heisman candidate in and of himself. A&M. And Arkansas. But then you got to go to Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. You got to go to my Vanderbilt Commodores and Diego Pavia. Ooh. And then you have to go to Alabama and Oklahoma. Okay, it's a manageable SEC. Now, let me underline manageable, because then you could be teetering here. All right? So the over is going to be a real achievement. And I think if you look at that win total, you're right. I would go more so to the national title number there at 18-1, or I would go look at to make the college football playoff. If you think that it's a 9-win team or more,
yes,
go get yourself a better payout in one of those markets.
That's exactly the way I look at it too. If you think this is an overplay at $1.40 for the win total here, look at maybe some SEC pricing there to make the college football playoff. I get that plus money, because that's what it's going to take with that schedule. And again, it's the SEC. We get it. It's never an easy schedule. That one does feel particularly daunting. How about for Coastal? When we look at their prospects here, they're going to open up the season August 30th. That's going to be in Charlottesville against UVA. And then maybe potentially manageable Charleston Southern. You're going to host East Carolina, go to South Alabama. You got Old Dominion on the ledger here. And what we're getting at, their win total is sitting at 5.5, juiced to the under. Are the days of Coastal, which aren't that long ago, where they're looking like a bowl team, 9-win team, is that now in the rear view? Are they taking a step back in college football?
We'll see. And I think what they have going for them, you get your veteran and Ethan Bosco there as the quarterback. You also have a veteran offensive line, a team that has some experience there up front. We know that you got to be able to win in the trenches. It's a weird club, right? They scored, I think, almost 32 points a game last year, but gave up over 27. Mm. So not a lot of room for error there. Will they be able to win a couple of these Sun Belt Conference games? So you think about App State, Marshall. They get two big opponents there in the Sun Belt at home. But then you got to go to Georgia State. You got to go to James Madison. You get the Kansas game for the non-conference there. Is the overall slate winnable for them? Yes, it is. Do I feel that six or more? I mean, it's harder to win six than to lose seven, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I think the under is probably the lean for me at the moment. Six wins or more, I think you'd have to get some defensive surprises here for Coastal to be able to hit that over.
Yeah, there are some tough road games, as we mentioned. Virginia and the ACC to begin that game at App State. That's going to be October 18th. And then November 22nd, you got to take on South Carolina on the road there. So, again, could you pick off one of those to get that over? Might be a tall task there. If you want to bet smarter this football season, we're going to give you a lot of help as a VSiN Pro subscriber. Again, our new NFL betting guide drops next week. That's early access. It's going to mean that you're going to have a better shot at spotting value in futures markets before the lines move. Jensen and I have write-ups in that betting guide as well. It's the perfect time to join with our football special. It's just $175 for full VSiN Pro access from today through the Super Bowl. And that's every sport, not just football, each and every day at a special early bird price. The sooner you sign up, the more you can get out of this guide, of course. And that NFL betting guide, July 1st, your playbook to the season, packed with team previews, power ratings, and season-long best bets. Plus, you're going to get a daily best bets email. Bill Ady's doing that each and every morning for you, from all of our picks from our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, so you're always connected. Full access to VSiN.com's analytics, tools, and pro systems. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Do it now. Lock in the football special for just $175. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Cannot stress, you're taking it seriously in football. You need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. When we come back, it's back to baseball. The Daily Diamond is up next.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, on this Monday edition. Again, Will Hill is going to join us at the top of hour number three. John Daigle is going to join us in the middle of it to talk some NFL football as well. Cannot wait for those conversations. But today, people, it's a Monday. It's the start of a new week, and it's time for your edition of the Daily Diamond. All right, let's start off on the good foot on this Monday, and maybe we are starting to get some separation of powers here in Major League Baseball. And Jensen, you're looking at some correlated numbers, perhaps, from some of the better teams and their prospects for September and beyond.
All right, so DraftKings has a couple of fascinating markets, if you will, and I just did a cost comparison here for potential value purposes, okay? One of these markets is to win both their division and respective league, okay? So we start in the American League. The Tigers right now, top team in the American League, plus 320 to win the Central and the American League, only 3-1. So not too big of a difference there if you want to take a shot on their American League future only. Yankees plus 330 and plus 260 respectively. We get a little bit further down, and here's what I wanted to highlight. If you think the Red Sox can find their way back into what all of a sudden has become a very crowded American League East, Dave, would you want any shares of 65-1 to win the East and win the pennant? So by virtue of them winning the American League, obviously they're in the postseason, you now have a 65-1 ticket to win the American League versus just 19-1 for them to win it by themselves. So I think that's just, you know, again, the exercise. And let's do the National League here real quickly. I'll get your thoughts on what you kind of like here. You know, the Dodgers, no shock, pretty similar plays there, or pretty similar prices to what the Tigers would be, respectively. The Phillies, not much difference, not much daylight there. Your Metropolitans the same way. I go back down to the Giants, and we've talked about this. I've advocated for you. I would stay away from the division prices there because I do think the Dodgers extend and escape. But I can't be mad at you if you want shares of a 40-1 with the Giants and 110-1 with the Padres. And I mean, if there is just even a remote sense of a streak here with the Reds, you want a 200-1 future? If somehow they run down the Cubs in the Central for a National League pennant, my goodness. Wow. What a couple of prices there. Very, very appetizing to say the least.
Well, we talked about Young Chase coming up now for the Reds, right? And if you get Hunter Green back, hopefully potentially all-star break that time, you know, sometime next month, all of a sudden help could be on the way for the Reds there. That Padres won 10-1. And again, remember right now, 19-1 is what I'm seeing for them to win the division. But if you really wanted to take that longer shot, boy, if they ran down the Dodgers and all of a sudden you got 110-1 instead of 22-1 for the Padres, I'm picking up what you put down. Little pizza money there, people. We're not saying get crazy because they are long shots for a reason, but maybe worth a sprinkle there. And the same could be said, I'm with you on the Giants. If we, I don't think the Dodgers are going to give up this lead, but if they were, boy, you'd love to have one of those other two teams with 40-1 and or 110-1. And we think all three of those teams could be playoff teams. That's for sure. Okay, heading for home with the Yanks and the Reds. What do you have today in Great American Small Park?
All right, our Cincinnati fans will know the iconic Marty Brenneman rounding third and heading for home. The call when a Reds player would come around to score. We get the Yankees and the Reds, as we talked about. And tonight, the intriguing beginning of the series, Dave, are a couple of numbers that stand out as far as non-league game matchups here. All right, so the Yankees are 16-8 to the over in non-league games, and they are hitting the over by an average of 2.5 runs. Over 2.5 runs, they're hitting that over. Cincinnati, by contrast, 16-13-1 to the over in non-league games, but they're hitting that by an average of 1.5. And I know Greg Peterson says that Al Winans is a different guy, and hey, all due respect to him, but a 7.20 ERA and 8 major league starts. Maybe he has figured it out. I am not going to believe it until I see it. Official play in pocket here for VSiN Pro subscribers. We are going to take the over 10 in this Yankees and Reds game. And I'm going to tell you right now, we have entered the humidity territory and the high temperature territory of fly balls at Great American Launching Pad becoming what it's like at Yankee Stadium. Mm. The Bronx, the ball travels when it gets warm. Same thing's going to happen here. I think we see fireworks from both offenses tonight.
I'll tell you this, that Saturday night loss for the Reds in St. Louis, another game they give away in the ninth inning, then lose an extra innings here. And yet the Reds, nice win yesterday, two games over 500 at 40-38, 6.5 back of the Cubs. They're kind of keeping distance here, even though they've let a lot of these games slip away. Kind of impressed with what the Reds are being able to do to stay competitive, at least in that Central Division. Okay. Speaking of some familiar foes, teams that know each other well, what do you make and how do you get to the window with some of these leans today?
Yep. All right. So we go from non-league games to, as you said, the familiar foes and some division matchup trends for people to consume here today. So we start with a game that you'll have an eye on tonight, the Atlanta Braves and the New York Mets. Atlanta in division matchups, Dave, they lead Major League Baseball to the under 65+% of the time they are hitting that under. The Pittsburgh Pirates will take on the Milwaukee Brewers today. They are as bad as anyone within their division against Central opponents, 8-15 on the money line. That is the third worst of any National League team. And then we mentioned the Cubs and the Cardinals, a very pivotal series for both clubs here. Chicago has handled their business within the division, 12-6 against Central opponents. That's third best of any Major League team. So our leans right now, the Braves and the Mets under. That right now is at 8.5, and it's juiced just a bit to the over here, but you get Spencer Schwellenbach and Paul Blackburn tonight.
Mm.
The Brewers will send out Chad Patrick, a really good young rookie, against Braxton Ashcraft. Brewers right now are a $2 favorite on the money line, so we may use that potentially in a parlay scenario with the Cubs, who are just a slight favorite on the road against the Cardinals right now, minus $1.11 on DraftKings. So just things to think about here as we get into this sample size, Dave, where we're upwards of almost half the season as far as games played. Now we get some really, really cool data points to be able to try and attack day in and day out.
Braves are now 25-1 to win the National League. I don't think you and I would advocate making that pizza money play, but maybe if you really think, even with the Chris Sale injury, that somehow Acuna Jr. at the top of the lineup is going to be able to breathe life into it. I don't know. You mentioned this all the time with Anthopoulos. What do you think the Braves do here when we get to the trade deadline, Jensen? Because now with the injury to Sale, who could have been a bargaining chip anyway, if they're going to stay in it, they got to get reinforcements. But does that go against, if they were going to punt on Sale anyway, why then would you go replace him unless that was the thought process all along?
From what Alex Anthopoulos said, there were under no circumstances were they trading Chris Sale, period. And so that kind of gives you a window into, you know, not only the short-term plan, but also the long-term plan. All right, so you're relying on both Spencers. So Schwellenbach goes tonight, Spencer Strider, who's going to get the ball tomorrow. You need both those guys to be front of the rotation arms, and they have proven that. Didier Fuentes, the young pup who just came up, all of a sudden now is thrust into a huge role and potentially a guy that they're going to have to lean on, but is as dynamic a 20-year-old as you're going to find. Grant Holmes is going to be big for them. Bryce Elder is going to have to get big innings. And I'm telling you, if there's any guy that can get it figured out and just be shrewd when it comes to trade moves, it's Alex Anthopoulos. This is on the backdrop, Dave, of maybe the most pivotal week of the regular season here for Atlanta to date. Four in Citi Field starting tonight. Ooh. Then you come home and you play the Phillies for three. And right now, again, I don't think the Braves have any designs on the National League East, but they got to get back to 500, okay? 35-41 entering play today, six games under. You got to get your head above water before you can really make any other significant moves.
Phillies are another betting favorites to win the division, minus $1.35. They flip back to the fave. Mets plus money, plus $1.10. June swoon is real right now for LGM, so they need to get back on the good foot, as you mentioned, Paul Blackburn on the bump tonight. If you want to know where the money is going for each and every game, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbook, so you get an insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking bigger bets from professional bettors. DraftKings are going to provide more of a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just the public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. So get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Jensen, would you play the Mets at plus $1.10 here? Or do you think that because they're going to get reinforcements, as we mentioned, Blackburn's back. He hadn't been great yet. Minaya's going to be coming back here soon. What do you make of what the Mets have done and what's happening with this mini collapse?
Yeah, just kind of looking at where tonight's differentials are. And I would say at the moment, the Braves are probably a lean here, just knowing. Actually, I take that back. No, I would say the Mets are a lean here at plus money. But this one may not be a close one either way. I do think that the offense could find a way to get after these starting pitchers. In particular, the Braves need it more than anything against Blackburn. So anxious to watch this one. Multiple implications for this series, not only for the Braves, but for your Mets as well.
I mean, after what the Braves did to the Mets last week, if they do this again up in Citi Field, watch out. Objects in the rear view could be closer than they appear. Back, VSiN by the books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here. Look, we love baseball. We talk about it all the time. We have been doing it well since before the season began. We love hockey. We love basketball. We love fights, golf, you name it. But Jensen, to our core, it's a football country, baby. Like, we just, like, is it officially football season? Are we, can we already get mentally there that college and pro football is literally right around the corner?
Where, what are we, under 9 weeks we have official college football games to watch and actively bet on? So, yeah, we're, as they say, it'll be here before you know it. We get to the all-star break in baseball. I know we, as players, already start looking at our favorite teams. So why not get started early, man? Cannot wait to get it going.
Behind me, the big board circuit. They've got futures up for the NFL. They've got week one lines up. I mean, we are getting ready to go. So with that in mind, I want to ask you, what's going on down south in New Orleans? Is this news or noise?
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. This is noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
You know, when you've got high expectations, sometimes there's high responsibility, a lot of it, right? Sometimes the inverse could be true as well. There are not a lot of expectations down in the Bayou for the Saints. And to that end, Jensen, on Friday, they signed three players that recently finished in the UFL. Seth Green, corner Jaden Price, and from the Arlington Roughnecks, we bring you Barry Wesley. He's with the Birmingham Stallions. Price is with the Roughnecks. So is this news or noise that we're signing guys from the UFL? Are we in full tank mode already?
I'd hope not. You have to fill out a roster. At this point in the season, I was making this analogy for spring training, is that you're going to amass as many different potential impact guys that you can. And at what cost? Some are expensive, some are not. This, I think, is just the due diligence of, hey, man, you know, let's see what we have here. We do have some spots that we have issues with, and not saying that these are the guys that they're signing with the intent of, like, oh, yeah, that's a difference maker for us right there. How many times have we gone through training camps, Dave, where someone ascends or a couple of guys ascend to that top spot, and you're like, I think that might be someone that's going to make an impact for us. So give the opportunity to the player. If the potential is there and professionally they've done it in the past, why not give it another go right here?
Normally, and again, if these guys, and I hope these guys, if they're listening, thank you, first of all, if you're watching the VSiN Watch app, the newly signed players that were there with the Saints. We're not dogging you. Like, I hope this works out for you and this works. But normally, it's positionally that if you're looking at UFL, you're looking at lesser leagues than certainly the NFL. It's normally specialty players, right? It's kick returners. It's a punter, maybe a place kicker. Those are the types of guys that slip through the cracks. Normally, it's not corners, offensive line, right? Because the scouts are out there combing the desert for all these players. And so, again, maybe they missed on them. Maybe they've gotten better, and they showed some things here at the UFL. But the second betting choice right now to have the fewest wins in this upcoming regular season, it's the Saints at plus 425. The Browns are the first choice at 4-1 to have the fewest number of wins. The Saints' win total is 5.5. Is 6.5. They were a 5-win team a year ago. This team is winning 7 games to hit the over at plus $1.55. Jensen, I don't know what they do down there in the Bayou, but I don't see a world that exists where this team with this current roster is a 7-win team out of 17.
If they're winning over 7, you might as well just take the 10-1 to win the NFC South and then find your hedge points along the way, because that in of itself. And again, let's put our survivor hats on here, right? You know, you think that those first handful of weeks, and listen, the Saints and the Bucks have been renowned for wrecking survivor pools early in seasons, whether week one, whether week two. I think that in and of itself is something to consider here for Kellen Moore and company. The Cardinals in week one, and I think that's going to be a very popular road selection, right? Is everyone thinks that the Saints are going to be this bad. A lot of people are going to try and steal the Cardinals on the road early in week one. Mm. Week two, do people take a shot on the 49ers as a road team? Potentially they will there. Do we back Sam Darnold and company with the Seahawks? Again, Dave, if we go through this, you tell me, where's the first win for Kellen Moore and company. And again, to be objective, we know that week one and week two are the scariest weeks, right, for any NFL team because it's the unknowns. But if we're being objective about it, where's the first win?
Week five?
For the Saints.
Week five at home against the Giants? And we say that, and our voices go up because we're not convinced of that. We're not convinced that that's the first win. But you would think that might be the best shot. Now, the week one, as you mentioned, certainly for Survivor, this is where it gets a little bit dicey. Because I think we're all expecting, with what Gannon has done out there in the other desert in Arizona, it looks like this is a confident football team that's turning a corner. Kyler Murray's kind of re-energized himself. What if Tyler Shuck is shock and awe? I can't even get the words out before I have to almost say, what am I saying? But what if this is the guy they really wanted and he's going to be the difference maker and Kellen Moore puts together this unbelievable game plan that nobody sees coming? Is that even a possibility that the Saints really could be the team that we're all sleeping on, and all of a sudden week one, all your Survivor plays, if you're taking Arizona on the road, go by the wayside?
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. So DraftKings has a market, I think it's the race to five.
Ooh.
Okay. And for each team, they have what will that team's record be after 5 weeks. Let me give you the potential prices here.
Okay.
If you don't think the Saints win at all, and again, very real possibility, if you don't think the Saints win, no wins is plus 450.
Mm.
If you think they do get a win in those first five, plus $1.90. Two wins, plus $1.95. Three wins, plus $4.25.
No way.
Four wins.
Come on.
13-1. And if you think they shocked the world, it's 100-1 for the Saints to go 5-0 to start the year.
It is kind of bizarre, because I think we look at Tennessee, and again, they're not visions of grandeur here. By the way, they're the fifth betting choice to have the fewest number of regular season wins here, Tennessee is. But I think, again, because of the Jaden Daniels, right, because of C.J. Stroud, where we've seen quarterbacks in year one all of a sudden just totally flip their fortunes on their head and give everybody hope. I don't think we see that out of Tyler Shuck, but we might see it out of Cam Ward in Tennessee, right? Because this is where if one guy gets drafted first overall and the other guy is, whatever quarterback taken as Tyler Shuck is, the expectation level is lower. Are we looking at this wrong just because of where they were drafted in the first round?
I mean, we'll eventually find out, right? And that's the beauty of training camp is we get at least, some early thoughts and some early view of how those guys play in a real NFL atmosphere. Obviously, the preseason games will be very imperative because we would assume that those guys have the lion's share. We know that Cam Ward will. Ironically, I just happened to look at week one. Mm. The Titans and the Broncos total is 41.5. I would love to play the under. In that game, just at Mile High, the defense for the Broncos. And we know that Mike Vrabel is going to, try and set up Cam Ward for early success there, try and control the line of scrimmage and time of possession. So as it stands here, buddy, with the Saints, you think about where if you feel that they steal a game somewhere, I can't envision it coming at Buffalo. I don't think they go to Seattle and shock the world there either. I almost feel like you would roll over if you think the Giants are where that first win comes. Why not roll over the money lines, to try and get you a little bit of early profit and then see, would you make the Saints then if they're 0-4, regardless of the Giants record, do you make the Saints a home favorite there against the Giants?
It'd be tough to do. We'd have to see how they look in those first four losses theoretically, but I would take the no wins through five at the over 4-1 price point here. And then if they are 0-4, you're sitting on a hedgeable spot if you want to play the Saints money line that day. That's probably the way I'd attack it. But again, it's the expectation, right? When you're the first overall pick in Cam Ward with Tennessee, or you're a second round pick, 40th overall like Tyler Shuck, the expectation levels are completely different just by virtue of one guy being a first-round pick and first overall and the other guy being in the second round. It is fascinating. You want to bet smarter? We got you covered. VSiN Pro, our NFL betting guide, drops next week. That's early access. Going to give you a better shot at spotting the value that we're talking about right now. It's the perfect time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Just $175. Full access from today through the Super Bowl. So, again, every sport, every single day. Email to you our expert hosts and guests like Will Hill, who's coming up next. So, again, go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Lock in that football special for just $175.